sea is smarter than he. And Reno Flipper lives in a world full of wonder, flying there under the sea. Everyone loves the king of the sea.
And the Flipper series, Luke Halpin joins us. Hi, Luke.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm good.
You know, it's interesting to note that here you were as a young child working with dolphins, and I understand you still have a connection to them at this point in life.
There are some places where I will see dolphins, where I go to see them. I saw some while I was in Hawaii 2 years ago. There's some in the Bahamas. I don't see too many in the United States, though. Most of what's in the United States are really a sea circus. And I'm not totally against these animals being, some of them being kept in captivity, but I'm beginning to get a little bit concerned about, you know, about the welfare of these animals, because it's turning into a cottage industry to go swim with dolphins.
Yeah, I know they have in the Cayman Islands, they're swimming with the stingrays, and now in Israel, swimming with dolphins. Do you think that injures the animals?
I'm not so much worried about how it's injuring the animals as to how many of these places there are. There seem to be more and more of them all the time.
Are they damaged? What damage do you find that they do, if any?
Well, we have more animals in captivity, and it's turned into a business, and it's, you know, they're not dogs and they're not cats, and I think that's what it's turning into. That's kind of a scary thought to me. They're still marine mammals, and they still have to be protected. I've always been in favor of, you know, of research and a certain amount of them being available for research for, like, the interspecies communication and so on, but it worries me a little when I see more and more places advertising, you know, go swim with a dolphin for $200 or whatever. It's like, what's happening, you know?
Can you believe that the series Flipper began 26 years ago? Does it seem like yesterday to you? Actually, 36 years ago.
36 years ago. It's amazing.
I mean, it went on the year September 19th, 1964.
Well, before we did the series, we did two feature films. We did a film called Flipper, which was how Sandy comes in contact and becomes the owner of this dolphin. And then we did a second one as Flipper's New Adventure, which led to the series. But 36, it seems like 36 years just flew by.
Yeah. It's amazing to me, too, because it seems like yesterday to me as well, and I was a kid watching the show. How old were you when you started on the series?
I guess I was about 13 when I about 13, 14 when we started the series.
Because you were playing a 15-year-old.
Yes.
And your brother Tom Norton on the show, Bud, was supposed to be 10 at the time. Did you guys get along in real life?
Yes, we did. In fact, a lot of the relationship that shows on the series is pretty much who we were. And it's funny because when we do get together, and I talk to him every few months, our relationship is exactly the same. We talk to each other exactly the same as we did then.
Nothing's changed, huh?
No.
Wow. You know, it's interesting to see... looking at the cast and the whole thing and how everything has come about. What was Brian Kelly like? You played your dad, Porter Ricks, on the show.
He is one of the greatest guys you could ever have to work with, you know, with being a kid. He was very tolerant, very patient with us. He was a great guy to be around and, in fact, a good role model. He was a real decent guy and really pleasant and fun to work with.
Is he still with us, or did he pass away?
No, he's still with us.
He is.
I don't believe he works in the business at this point. He lives out in California someplace.
During the second season, they added Ula, lovely lady, into the cast.
Oh, yeah, the marine scientist.
Yes.
Well, you know, it's funny. We had kind of a running joke on the set in that Dad's hair was jet black, my hair was blonde, and Tommy's hair was red, but we didn't have a mom. So it was like, hey, Dad. What?
Hey. I got to ask you a little bit about your background, because folks out there don't know Luke Halpin personally. And where are you from, and how did you get into the business?
I was born in New York. I was studying piano. I was 7 years old. My father was working for the railroad, and he had an accident and was basically incapacitated for several years. My piano instructor sent me into New York City, and I immediately started doing live television. And I was doing live televisions, and I was doing Broadway and in New York. And in fact, I was working on Broadway doing a play called Take Me Along with Jackie Gleason when Ivan Tour, the producer of Flipper, saw the show, came backstage, and interviewed me for the original movie.
Wow.
He arranged for us to go swimming. He wanted to know for sure that I could swim. I was hired, and I left for Florida, gave 2 weeks' notice on the play, and left for Florida. Bahamas.
Wow. What was Jackie Gleason like to work with?
Great. He was another one. He's a rare person. I mean, as far as his people that worked for him in his shows, he wanted to make sure everybody was happy. If everybody wasn't happy, he'd do something about it. Always very, very concerned about, you know, about his people being happy and satisfied with what they're doing.
Hmm. Well, during the series, were you, did you guys get actually friendly with Flipper? How many Flippers were there?
Well, originally we had a privately owned dolphin from the Keys, which was the personal pet of a Florida fisherman and his wife. But we couldn't have her back for the second feature, so we obtained dolphins from the Seaquarium and just started training with them. They all have different personalities, so they're like people in that respect. They're completely different in who they are.
So
we did develop relationships with the animals. We had five of them. And we never really rotated them much. Primarily, we used Susie. And sometimes we would use Kathy.
And was Susie the best to work with?
Not all the time. She would get tired of it. Sometimes she would get tired of this game, of this work, and start getting rough with us, or she would just refuse. She would just swim off and say, that's it, enough for the day with this.
Yeah.
If they decide to get rough, they can get rough. They don't normally do that.
Yeah.
But I think after a while, if you start withholding food from them and they're getting hungry and they know that you have their food, they'll eventually just say, "Well, wait, I'll take it away from you."
Uh-huh.
I can.
Yeah. That's funny. Well, it must have been kind of weird though, working with a dolphin as a co-star.
Well. What was weird about it was at that time nobody had really done anything like this with a dolphin, of course, or I couldn't think of anyone working with sea mammals, with seals or anything else in the capacity we were, you know, with movies and television.
Right.
So we were learning too. Of course, we learned early on that for our training with the when we couldn't have the original animal, was to train with lights, with motion picture lighting equipment present. In fact, we had a camera motor put in a water box so that we could run the camera motor and she'd get used to the sound of the camera motor. Their hearing is acute, so, you know, they have to get, if they're not used to that, it will immediately disturb whatever, whatever's going on if you spring it on them all at one time.
Sure, yeah. It's just unbelievable. The whole thing is just amazing when you look at it. We watch it as a series, but behind the scenes must have just been amazing. A lot of work though too.
Yeah, there was a lot of work. There was a great deal of pleasure with it though, because working with these animals over, you know, over a 5 or 6 year period, you really do get to care about them. Not just because you work with them and they do become like a pet, but you realize that they're incredibly smart animals and that their environment is in danger, and that polluting the ocean depletes the source for their, you know, for their food, and the water gets murky. They, you know, they can't see very well. They still have their sonar, but it's still a mystery why they ground themselves. We still don't know what makes them run themselves aground.
And it makes people very sad. It happens out here down the Cape every once in a while, and you know, whether it's a whale or a dolphin, people get very sad from it. But they still don't know the reason why.
I don't know. We do have a connection to them.
Yeah.
You know, people have asked me before, how come you guys haven't done a reunion show? And the only answer I can give is, well, nobody knows we went off the air. It's running every day somewhere.
Yeah.
And it's I couldn't quite understand why it was still being run for a long time. And while looking at one of the, I have them on video, of course, I was looking at one of them, and it dawned on me that our haircuts are pretty generic. We wear cutoffs and sneakers, t-shirts.
And that's exactly.
Boston Whalers are still look pretty much the same. Mercury Motors are still painted black, and the ocean is the ocean, and the dolphins are better than ever. So I guess it didn't really date itself like Laugh-In or some of the other things of that time.
I think you just hit it on the nose. In fact, Werner Klemperer, when he was on from Hogan's Heroes, mentioned to me that the reason that it still stays current is because uniforms were involved. And when people wear the same outfits, whether it's, you know, cut off some t-shirts or a uniform, they usually don't go out of style. Mm-hmm. So that keeps things, you know, pretty much up to date. And that brings me to the next thing I want to talk to you about. And that is, of course, the fact that Nick and Knight's on and TV Land and all these places that are putting all these old shows on, and a whole new generation of fans has been developed for every show, including yours. So if you go to, I would assume you go to like autograph shows and things, you must have people go up from their 60s and 70s down to teenagers and kids.
It's amazing. There's like two or three generations of children that have watched Flipper and absolutely love it. And I mean, nothing could make me happier. I mean, it's tremendously rewarding that children are still enjoying this thing 36 years after it was produced.
Mm.
And I was over and I went to France. I was a guest of honor at a film festival in Beauvais, and the festival theme was water films made in the water, around the water. So it was like the Luc Besson, people from Jacques Cousteau, and Esther Williams, and like that. But it was amazing how many mothers and children wanted the autograph. And it was just, and the same here. I go to an autograph show, and there's people who are basically my age. I'm 53 years old, who come for an autograph and come to meet me, and they have children and grandchildren with them for an autograph. And that's very rewarding.
Yep. And I'm going to tell people before we go to how they can get your autograph, because they can order it. But before we do that, I just want to ask one quick question, because we've had so many child stars on this show. What was it like then at 17 or so, when the show went off the air? How did you handle it?
Well, it was a little bit difficult, but I didn't know it right away. What I discovered after the fact was that Hollywood is really not very forgiving to child stars. So it became increasingly difficult to get hired as an actor, because you're basically, you're pigeonholed as Sandy from Flipper.
Right.
So even though I had I had a very good acting career going, you know, working in New York. After Flipper was over and I was in Los Angeles, there was less and less work, and the jobs were less and less rewarding. So it just faded.
Yeah.
And I work as a motion picture technician. I do lighting. And I'm also a licensed captain. So a lot of the shows where we have boats involved, I'm on the Marine crew, running a boat.
So you were keeping busy, but did you fall into that trap some of these other kids did of, you know, the drugs and all the other stuff that was involved?
Oh, certainly.
Yeah.
But I didn't get, and that didn't become part of my life. I mean, sure, I dabbled in some of those things too, but it didn't consume my whole existence, of course, because I was into yacht racing with the sailboats. I was into my surfing and diving and, you know, working on some underwater movies as a diver, the James Bond pictures and things like that. So, luckily, I had another love, which was the ocean, and that didn't happen to me in that respect.
And yeah.
I feel really bad for some of the kids that these things happen to, and I guess they couldn't help it. There's nobody standing there to explain to you when this TV series is over that you're over.
Nowadays, you guys like Paul Peterson around that are helping some of these kids, but when you guys were young, there was nobody.
Right, there was no one, right. Nobody's there to tell you that, this lifestyle of being, wanted and loved and cared for and all that is over. That you're no longer that important person because you no longer are in this spotlight.
Mm.
And it's, I don't think it's that hard to adjust if you're reasonably well adjusted to begin with. But I can see where some of the kids who got in big trouble for it, I can see where it could happen. And, at times that's embarrassing to a lot of the people that it didn't happen to, if
right.
they do that.
Yeah, pigeonhole everybody, all these child stars,
Right, because then it's like everybody throws you all in the same bag. But, yeah, I know Paul Peterson, and Paul Peterson is a great guy. I talk to him, every once in a while about a minor consideration. And a minor consideration has helped a lot of people in these situations, coming out of a show that's successful and now they're no longer going to be famous.
Right. It's a tough adjustment for anybody of any age, especially a kid.
Yeah.
Talking with Luke Halpin, you know him, of course, as Sandy on the Flipper Show, but now he's an entrepreneur. And like you're listening right now at pnpnetwork.com, you can actually get to meet Luke personally on Luke Halpin, LukeHalpin.com, and order a nice autographed photo of Luke for your wall.
Yes, absolutely. In fact, there's information about me on the website. In fact, I need to be updating some of it. And there's more stuff happening. I mean, I'm still working. I don't recall. Let's see. I like the big water pictures, so I'm going to add some more stuff in there about different films that I've worked on in the water. I need to put in some stuff about the James Bond pictures and handling the live sharks. And I need to add some stuff about working on Speed 2, working down in the Caribbean.
Do you have any stuff in there about your views on the dolphins? Maybe you can do a whole section on the environment.
I'm going to do a separate section on that. I think it's time, because Flipper brought to the surface a great awareness, of these animals, and I don't want the message to be lost. They should still be protected, and research should continue, but again, they're not like cats and dogs, and you couldn't really keep one in a swimming pool, unless it would probably cost at least $500,000 to set up a proper saltwater pool to take care of one of these animals.
Right.
And even then, they're fragile.
Yeah.
And yeah, they're smiling. They seem to always be smiling, but you can't tell that they're sick until it's too late.
Right.
So this isn't really the kind of pet that everybody should have.
I agree with you on that, but they are great to watch. I enjoy watching Flipper and enjoy watching dolphins in general. And
well, I worry a little bit also about, people want to let them go. Just take them and, turn them loose, put them back out in the ocean, right? Well, that's both a good idea and a bad idea, because these dolphins have been exposed to us. They've been exposed to our viruses, to the flu, and to, our diseases, and even though we've given them antibiotics, they probably still retain a certain amount of this germ, and just turning these animals loose, you could infect every one of them by doing that too.
Plus a lot of them lose their ability to defend themselves and stuff when they're kept in captivity.
Sure. I mean, and if they're depending on how young an animal is taken out of captivity and how much contact it has with other animals, does it speak the language? Can it defend itself? Does it know about the predators? Can it feed itself? So, I don't know, there's a lot of things to consider there about just letting it go.
One of the great things about LukeHalpin.com for the folks out there, you better see Luke as Sandy, but also Luke as Luke today, and it's great to do that. My wife thinks that you're a very handsome guy, so I guess that
that's what you are.
I'm sure your wife does as well.
I pretty much look the same, only I'm just older.
You got a little mustache now, too.
Yes, I have a mustache.
A little stash. So that does it. But LukeHalpin.com, everybody get on there and visit. And on your site, you should probably put there's a live interview with you on PNPnetwork.com as well.
I will do that.
And we'll put a link to your site on ours as well.
Sounds good.
All right?
Okay.
Take care, Luke. It's nice to talk to you.
Thank you, Mark. It's good talking with you also.
Bye-bye.
Bye.